This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Linda Pelaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, there it is. Everything sounds so professional. And then the eating disorder on heritageradionetwork.org theme song comes in and it all just goes elsewhere. I have a feeling everybody just disappears at 8 o'clock on Mondays and lets us do whatever we want in the retrofitted, repurposed shipping container outside Roberta's Pizza. I'm going to start tonight's episode of Eating Disorder because I'm solo, Crazy Legs Conti. Where's Paldo? Chef Paul Gerard is busy running the new shop down at Bel Rev on Church. And where's Revo? The Reverend is attending to personal matters and recovering from South by Southwest. So I am your host tonight. I have a very exciting, upbeat, pithy, fun show, but it is with some sadness that I have to inform that we had a guest, Little Jimmy, a longtime friend of mine, and sadly, on Sunday, just shy of his 69th birthday, he passed away. He had a beautiful life, and his motto was think big. But the motto we always enjoyed in the studio, he mentioned it on his episode, was whatever you do on your knees, I do standing up. He was a lover of women, trains, driving, and if you care enough to contribute to his life, you could check out his autobiography, Little Man Thinking Big, available on Amazon. The two gentlemen who now join me in the studio are no strangers to Little Jimmy, nor his antics, and have appeared with him in many TV, film, and web shows. Star of the smallest screen, Little Jimmy on the internet was a go-to guy for us. Without further ado, my closest friends in the universe, I'm going to introduce them. Dinshaw Gobai, talented musician. Welcome, Dinshaw.
Thank you very much, Crazy Legs. It's great to be here.
Yes.
Really honored.
And Chris Keneally.
Yeah.
Yes. I am drinking a fine rosé. It's just going right to my head, which these guys may make some fun of me for. But you guys want to share a Little Jimmy memory you have of the past to celebrate his life?
Little Jimmy was always a go-to actor, you know, when we had little videos to shoot or movies to make, things like that. You know, bringing Little Jimmy on always raised it to a higher level of performance for everybody around, and he will be missed.
That's true. And Little Jimmy often would ask about my mom. How's your mom? Good. And then he goes, how's the little boy? And he was actually referring to Chris Keneally. For some reason, even though Keneally towered over Little Jimmy, he just referred to him as the little boy.
Yeah, when there's a little person, a dwarf, and they're referring to you as the little guy, it's a little bit insulting. Yes. But, you know, that was Little Jimmy, and he would always, he loved Crazy Legs. Whenever Crazy Legs was not within eyesight of him, he'd be, where's Crazy Legs? Crazy Legs should be here. Where's Crazy Legs? Where's the little guy? Tell the little guy to get Crazy Legs over here. He would kind of have these moments of anger and outbursts, but it was just his passion coming through.
He was strong, man. I remember I just heard so many stories about him being such a dick that I just started to steer clear of him. And when we would work together, I thought I was just, you know, doing whatever was necessary, and then he would leave the room or something like that, and I'd look over at somebody and be like, Jesus, that guy's a dick. And they'd be like, yeah. And then I would leave the room, and I would come back, and I would find out that he was just sitting there talking about what a dick I was.
Well, he could never remember your name. He called you, yeah.
How much longer is he going to take with my food?
Yeah, it's true. Curmudgeonly might be the word we use, but
I think that's what I like best about him.
He was
he was to Dinshaw all the time. I don't know. Sorry.
And in the short Men's League, which Chris Keneally directed, Little Jimmy was supposed to pull upon his anger to be mad at Hungry Charles for showing up late. And he was just angry because he didn't realize in film you have to shoot a take from a different angle. So he thought he'd already done it.
Right.
Bosco, who was maybe gaffing, had a fear of little people and was freaked out. And Little Jimmy was just railing on everybody on set in just screaming anger because he had to do, I already picked up the basketball.
I recall that he was taking his acting tips and he was trying to like vocalize the emotion he was supposed to be displaying. Like Chris would give him notes and be like, Little Jimmy, you're supposed to be angry in the scene. He'd be like,
I'm angry.
Yes, exactly. I'm angry. Well, that was the issue. When the cameras rolled, he would say, ooh, you make me so mad.
And yeah, some of the direction you would have to see him is like, don't say I'm angry out loud. Just act as if you're angry and he would figure it out eventually.
We would just eventually tell him that Din Shah had forgotten his food, and then he'd go ballistic and we'd roll the camera. But
or we would just put Crazy Legs beside him on film and he would seem like a genius actor.
That's true as well. We also worked with him 7 years apart doing the Pat Riot videos, which are available on YouTube, space in between them, from Elvis Helmet. Many of the band monikers that the two of you have had over the years, separately together, you've played in different bands, different musical stylings, but you met through beer, right? It would be in Boston, in Cambridge, at John Harvard's, where you were working. And the stories I always heard about John Harvard's, even though I grew up in Boston, I didn't know you then until your New York existence, were ones you had a small car. What kind of car did you have?
Well, I think we actually met playing softball. And like the moment I think somebody introduced me to Chris, and you said something along the lines of like, what kind of fucking gay name is that? That's the first thing out of your mouth to me when we met.
Well, I didn't think it was your real name, Din Shah. But apparently it is.
But you would drive around in this car with a keg? But
I also saw him meet a girl on our softball team. And the first thing he did was start smelling her ass as if he
that
was
is
a
not,
dog.
Were you waving that one true. Off? No, that's not true. All right. But would the car had... there's a lot of hand gesticulating going on right now. So the car had a keg.
I made that part up.
A car had a keg that had a tap, and you would drive.
Din Shah had an awesome, was it a rabbit?
It was a rabbit.
Volkswagen convertible rabbit. Okay. But you can't see this because it's a radio.
We do a lot of
6 foot
radio.
5.
Yes.
So him and a rabbit, he's basically a convertible rabbit. His head is above the windshield. And it had fire painted on the side, flames, you know, like a hot rod. And we worked for a brewery. So we would bring kegs to the softball game, and sometimes they wouldn't get finished, and we would drive around town just kind of
drinking out of
the keg in the back seat.
We were young men with a car and a keg. I mean,
trying to decide whether that constituted an open container or not.
That's a good dilemma to have.
No.
But eventually you moved to New York. Keneally I met as he worked at a company called The Shooting Gallery in the post-production division. And I think we officially met, we kidnapped you from a company meeting.
Yeah.
And we dragged you to a Knicks Celtics game with another guy, Pete Conlon and Chris Russell. We put you in a Sprewell jersey?
I believe it was a youth large
right.
jersey. I still have it. That's in a t-shirt museum at the bottom of the drawer.
Nice.
And that was a special moment.
And we got along really well. And he would tell me about his buddy, Din Shah. He said, you should come meet him. So we went to where Din Shah was bartending, which was actually at a historic... bar in the 19 subway
Siberia
stop. Siberia, the original
amazing
Siberia
place.
Bar. And you walk in and the ceilings are very low and they have that material that you used to see in high schools and they're all people would use their lighters on the ceiling and it was pretty down and dirty, but an
no
amazing
toilet,
place.
Right?
No toilet.
Clogged. It was probably the most... I've been in a lot of disgusting bars. I would say Siberia in the 19 station at 50th Street was the most disgusting bar.
Well, there were two
been.
Bathrooms, and one of them had a toilet, which was often used for actually going to the bathroom. And the other one had a toilet at one point, but then we would never pay for any sort of actual professional maintenance. So we were trying to snake it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the snake got stuck, and then the toilet bowl broke. And the answer was to just destroy the toilet bowl, break it into pieces, just take it out in the trash. And then there was just an open hole of sewage in this bathroom that like we attempted to put cardboard boxes over at times. And that was then.
Did
the,
people
like,
still use it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it became like the champagne room. So that's where you would go
right.
to do anything you might have done in a champagne room.
Yeah.
I remember another good friend of ours who's actually in Chris's band, Levy, remembers playing drums because the stage, quote unquote, was near that bathroom. He remembers actually playing drums in a pool of sewage and
yes.
it was seeping through his cardboard rug that he had made for drums. It didn't smell, though.
No, it was a great place. But.
There's a song on the album,
that's
Siberia,
true.
Which really explains it in detail, I think.
Live from Siberia, the song by the album by the Knobs, which I'm sure we'll get to. But I was introduced to Din Shah, and he kind of looked me up and down, and he was reaching for the Jameson, his whiskey of choice. And then he reached over and gave me a shot of Irish Mist, which is like the mosquito repellent of the alcohol world. Like, all right, Keneally, whatever. Because at the time, I think Keneally had loftier visions of me.
He didn't look right to me.
Yeah. Well, I was driving around. I had a van because we worked in film, and I was bringing all the interns and all the people who worked at the company to different bars. And I think Keneally thought, wow, this guy's a real ringleader, until I disappeared in the back of a divey strip club for a over-the-pants hand job. And he's like, that guy's terrible.
That was back in your donating days, when the most succinct description of you we ever heard was unkempt and green hair.
That's true. My file where I donated sperm for 9 months at Iden Technology, the manila folder was open once, and those two words were what it said: green mustache, untidy. So if you were a woman in the 90s going in for sperm donation to pick up somebody to produce offspring, and
have an unkempt baby with green hair,
you know where it came from. Yeah. But about 20 years later, everyone's still in New York. Everyone's
20 years.
It's been 20 years, hasn't it?
98 is when I moved here.
98.
So I got here in 99.
So right. 17
I can't
years
do the math. It's almost 20.
It's not almost 20. It's a little over 15.
All right. So is it 17 in between?
It's a big difference.
All right.
If you go to jail for one, you're fine the other.
All right. Okay. Well, and in that time, although all of us have worked in film and some TV, and Keneally's made his living from it.
Oh, yeah, because I have worked in film. Have I ever been paid? I've never been paid.
Didn't you? I like how he's just harassing you like he would in real life.
It's like our typical relationship.
He's the host of a radio show.
He told me to just come in here and be myself.
He's smooth. Like, I'm very impressed with Crazy Legs here.
Well,
but you just have an attitude.
That's
you're ready to pounce. 17? 20? I was in a movie.
Keneally's often acted as my life coach, so he knows where to draw the line.
I actually don't want any credit for that. Based on the results.
There was a time I bought a sandwich and I was griping that the guy had given me the wrong sandwich. We were in Hell's Kitchen and he just grabbed the sandwich out of my hand and just threw it into like a Village Voice box and said, you should have asked for the right sandwich.
Well, here's what happened.
Stood up for
yourself. Yeah, you got to tell that story.
You go into a dirty bodega and Crazy Legs orders a sandwich and says, I don't want cheese on it. And the guy starts putting feta cheese or something on it. Crazy Legs, I don't want cheese. The guy, oh, cheese good. Uh-huh. Puts cheese on it. Crazy Legs is shaking his head. Doesn't stand up for himself.
It's true.
Kind of being a little baby.
Yeah.
Then we get outside. I didn't want cheese on it. I can't believe the guy put cheese on it. I let it go. We go a couple more blocks. This sandwich has cheese. Go, you don't want cheese? You don't want fucking cheese on the sandwich? You should have stood up and told the guy you don't want fucking cheese on the sandwich. Give me that sandwich. I grabbed it out of his hands and I spiked it onto 10th Avenue. Kicked it into the street.
Yep.
Told him you didn't deserve the sandwich.
I didn't deserve it. It was true. It was a good life lesson
true
for
you
me.
You didn't deserve it.
I stand by my
actions. I was fine with it. Yep. Some of those events made it into song, I guess I would say, because music is in part what a lot of us enjoy our time now. Recently, the Knobs played Otto Shrunkenhead last Friday night. The Knobs are an all-punk band with a tuba player. Billy Ryan sat in. Occasionally, Dinshaw has played with the Knobs. Dinshaw's own band, the Go-Bys, is largely on hiatus.
Yeah.
You've been doing solo gigs.
That band's been done for quite a while.
Right.
And then after the Go-Bys, it was Dinshaw. And that was a terrible idea. Now I'm working on a new project.
All right.
What's it called?
At the moment, I'm operating under the moniker Tall Friend.
Tall Friend. And today,
because everybody's like, you know, my tall friend, Dinshaw.
All right.
What if you did that in German? It would be powerful.
Well, somebody brought up the fact that this guy that I work with was like, that's a little creepy, dude. And then we realized that he lives in the woods in like a cabin. And like, if you live in the woods in the cabin, somebody called Tall Friend like might seem a little like stalkery, expertery. I don't know.
That guy lives in the woods.
Yeah, the guy who thought it was creepy.
All right. Well, it's better than
what's
like
wrong?
Slender
what's
Man.
Creepy about Tall
Wicker
Friend.
I didn't think it was creepy. I thought it was supposed to be endearing and familiar.
You were going to build a website today, though.
I built one today.
And what is the name of the website?
Well, I'm waiting for it's tallfriendtunes.com.
Okay. Right.
I'm waiting for the DNS to resolve, so it won't show up yet.
Okay.
There's a more cryptic address for it. I don't know if it's like, it's music-website.herokuapp.com.
Well, this
Oh my
link.
God, this show just got so boring.
All right. So let's play a song.
The tallfriendtunes.com should work by tomorrow morning.
All right.
Anywhere in the next 24 to 48 hours.
All right. Keneally, you were working on a
Again,
song.
Again, that's tallfriend at myspace.com.
Open up your search engine. Turn on the
I also have a YouPorn channel.
Who wants to play a song before the break, I guess I should ask.
Tall Friend.
Tall Friend? Do you want to do this? What song would you like to do? I'll leave it to you.
Well, I worked out a couple from our history together.
All right.
The first one, I guess, would be the Oyster Song.
Yeah, let's do that because it's a light and...
why don't you set that up, Crazy?
So, as a competitive eater, I would travel to many places. But in 2002, in my first professional contest, I went down to New Orleans for the Acme Oyster Eating Championship. And my friends, Chris Keneally, came with me filming, which later he compared to combat photography. And Dinshaw Gobai was there in the crowd cheering me on and performed and wrote this ballad.
All right, wrap it up. Wrap it up.
All right, there we go. Anyway, Dinshaw Gobai.
This is a song from the movie Crazy Legs Conti, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating.
There it is.
So... just a little. So what really happened is I came down to party, and they were all staying. They'd paid for a hotel room. So I was like, if I go down with them, I won't have to pay for a hotel room. They actually locked me out of the hotel room, and I had to sleep on the banks of the Mississippi. But then the next day, I showed up at the eating contest, but had forgotten all of my phone numbers of people I wanted to party with that I knew in New Orleans. And this was pre-cell phone, so I had to walk back to the hotel. And it was like 10:30, so I was already wasted. And I wrote the song while I was walking to the hotel. And then I got back, and they were like, that's great. You should play it on stage. So this is the Oyster Song.
10:30 a.m.?
Yeah, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to clarify that.
The Oyster Song. Dinshaw Gobai.
Hey, Mr. Oyster, you better swim on deck. Hide beneath your brothers. Maybe dress up like a clam. He'll shuck you while you're sleeping, and he'll suck you while you dream. Crazy Legs, the Oyster King, is coming to New Orleans. That old Mississippi, she is deep and wide. There sure enough is room for all them oysters to hide. But just a word of warning to my slimy little friends, you better dig a little deeper before the shucking does begin. He was born in a dumpster in dirty old New York. He was raised by the roaches, just a smile and a fork. He fought for every morsel, he squirreled it all away, till his stomach did a stretch and knew the man you know today. Hey, hey, Mr. Oyster, you better swim on down. Maybe hide beneath your brothers, maybe dress up like a clam. He'll shuck you while you're sleeping, and he'll suck you while you dream. Oh, Crazy Legs, the Oyster King has come to New Orleans. Well, the road, it was hard, but it sure wasn't lean. And he turned into a mollusk menace oystering machine. He soon became a legend that all the children knew. They made fun of all the fat kids, saying only Crazy Legs could eat more than you. Well, that big day came around and everyone was there. All the shuckers and the suckers and the oysters and the mayor. Everyone was happy on every face a grin, because the one who sucks the hardest is the one who's gonna win. Hey! Hey, Mr. Oyster, you better swim on down. Maybe hide beneath your brothers, maybe dress up like a clam. He'll shuck you while you're sleeping, and he'll suck you while you dream. Cause Crazy Legs, the Oyster King, is coming to New Orleans. Crazy Legs, the Oyster King, is coming to New Orleans. Yeah, Crazy Legs, the Oyster King, has come to New Orleans.
Dinshaw Gobai on Eating Disorder.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back after these important messages.
listening to Tanning Bed by RecTech. This is Eating Disorder on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
As soon as that girl's prep, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Wow. I think they added the kids' chorus there at the end. I hadn't heard that part before. But we're back on Eating Disorder with Dinshaw Gobai, who just sang The Oyster King.
Dinshaw is not here anymore.
He went to the bar to get a drink. And Chris Keneally. Now, that song appeared in a movie that you co-directed.
That's right.
About competitive eating, modestly titled Crazy Legs Conti, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating.
That's right. I made a movie about you.
Yes.
And that song was in it by Dinshaw. Dinshaw's in the movie as well.
He pours a beer on his head. He makes out with...
That might be in the extras.
Oh, that's in the extras. Yeah, right. There are a lot of extras. You can get the DVD on Amazon for about $4. Well worth it. But you parlayed that into other projects. You did a year as the post supervisor on...
True Detective,
season one.
Yep.
And then recently an acclaimed film that really went all over, another documentary, slightly more successful than your first one, Side by Side.
Yeah, Side by Side with Keanu Reeves.
Keanu was the...
We traveled the world and interviewed all the great filmmakers and directors that would talk to us.
That's true. It sort of charts the journey from celluloid to digital cinema and the difficulties in 100 years of film. Martin Scorsese, Chris Nolan, a lot of big...
David Lynch,
everybody.
Robert Rodriguez.
Yep. All of them were there. Did you do any original music for the doc?
No, the Ryan brothers did almost all the music, and Billy Ryan is now a member of the Knobs.
So that's right.
Everything's connected.
That's true. Now
keep
you,
the circle small, you know?
That could be true of a lot of things in life. You were working on a song today. Now, I'm not going to ask you to play it. But
I wasn't in it.
But I liked... well, you sort of did sound at the Knob show, didn't you? You were there. The image you were trying to project. You had the instrumental was already done.
Oh, today?
Today.
Yeah.
But you're trying to write the lyrics.
Yeah, it's a song, so it's from kind of like the point of view of a giant whale that's being hunted, and, you know, harpoons are sticking into its flesh, and there's boats, you know, trying to yank this beast down and end its life, but this whale is so powerful that it cannot be stopped. People are flying off. Ropes are burning out of their hands. Boats are crashing into each other. The whale's just, you know, flailing around, and then he dives and drives himself to the bottom of the ocean floor, just, you know, leaving a wake of death and destruction behind him.
And that's
you should write a book about
that's
that.
That's the anthem.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Moby Dick from the whale's perspective.
From the whale, yeah. And I was trying to help out with the lyrics. I have no musical talent, but I was saying, like, don't call me Ishmael, don't text me, don't email me. Just trying to bring it modern day. But
yeah,
I think whatever you go with is good.
Thanks for those suggestions.
You can contact me via Ishmael.
There you go.
You don't even know what a text is. You don't even have a phone. So to you, that's like some sci-fi thing that would make a good song. Imagine they had a device that you could carry around and call people with, and it had a map and videos on it.
I did tell Dinshaw at Easter. I spent Easter with him. I made a Kelly Olenek Easter egg, and I was like, can you tweet that to me? And he's like, that's not how it works.
I actually remember when I got my first cell phone, it was because I just kept at, like, we would go out, Chris and I would go out, and Crazy Legs and I would go out, and first I would just give, like, one chick Chris's cell phone number so that I could maybe meet them. And then I found out that I was, like, giving his cell phone number to, like, three different girls, and then, like, asking him to, like, write down these numbers to be, like, I guess I gotta get a cell phone.
Yes. And then people got very...
There's no way to get laid in New York without a cell phone.
You guys, well, I think...
Will you get a watch? Would you get the Apple Watch?
That seems like you need two. Do you need two devices to do the business in one? I think.
Why? It's a watch.
Well, in the cell phone. No,
but you mean the clasp to hold the watch on?
You answer your texts. If I'm in an important business meeting, I don't want someone to see an incoming text.
Because that'll happen.
Like I was in a business meeting earlier today. By business meeting, I mean babysitting a five-year-old as we were putting together a Star Destroyer Lego. No, I'd probably hold off on the cell phone. But
I asked about a watch, though.
A watch. The Apple Watch. The iWatch.
Cell phones are dead. It's over.
When you guys did have cell phones, you got really annoyed at me.
You have to go straight to the chip implant into your head?
Google Glasses.
The iCopter. No, I want something on the bottom of the eyelid. The iCopter. I don't know. If you were to write a book about Moby Dick, generally we have a lot of dick jokes in the things we produce, including recently Basecamp, which we just shot 8 episodes of.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll sell it.
Basecamp is this web series about two dudes in a tent on the side of a mountain in Mount Everest, and they never leave the tent.
They never
it's
leave
a
the
comedy.
Tent. Yeah.
But I had my friends write episodes and send in ideas.
Except for me.
You had that offer. And then I had to put a moratorium on dick jokes, basically for myself. Every episode was a dick joke. I was like, this is like two guys and a dick and a tent.
Yes.
But then I had a good dick joke right after that, which I may make an exception for.
Yeah, we did make an exception. We're not going to tell it now because we're saving it for Basecamp. You're going to tell it now?
No, I want to hear it.
You want to hear it?
Well, one of the guys is old. Is an old dude, and one is a young dude, and the old dude, I hear something there.
That's all right.
The old dude, played by Chris Campion, is like, you young guys, when it was my age, when you wanted to send a girl a dick pic, you had to get a pen and a paper, and a mirror, draw a picture of your dick, fold the paper in a thirds, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, take it down to the postman, mail it out, wait for her reply. Nowadays, just whip it out, take a picture, and text that shit over to her. You don't know how easy you had it.
There you go. See?
It's true.
It's good. I think the moratorium should be lifted for that when we shoot another 8 episodes, but... Keneally, do you have a song you want to sing, or do you not want to sing a song?
I don't know. I don't need to sing a song.
You don't need
Dinshaw's,
to sing a song? Dinshaw's going to sing a song?
Here. Why, that'd be like, Paul McCartney's here. You're not going to ask Dinshaw to sing a song.
All right. On that stellar introduction, Dinshaw, can you grace us with another song?
Yeah, I'll do another one. The time the Oyster song got written when you guys all brought me down to New Orleans was the second time I had been. The year before, I had gone to Jazz Fest, and I had written my first New Orleans song. And if Chris wants to play a little lead guitar on this...
Oh, there we go.
I think it would probably sound pretty good. But this was... if you've ever been to the Jazz Festival in New Orleans...
I love that.
You may or may not know what a... just a life-changing experience it can be. And I came back from 14 days of like the greatest time I had ever had. And I was basically just a shell of a man. And I remember going up to my rooftop in this deep, deep post-party depression, like not having any idea how I was going to come out of this funk or recover or whatever. And it was still the middle of summer. And I went up there and I was living on Chris's in his living room on a futon. And I just went up to the roof and smoked a huge joint, and this just kind of oozed out because I was just talking about how I feel. My liver's bleeding and my throat is sore. I dried my eyes out, but it's so much more. Could be I've never really been in love before, but my head's still ringing from the sunshine and the singing. I think I'd like to go back down. So I ended up meeting these girls there. I actually stayed out all night, came home, passed out at Jazz Fest, woke up with a sunburn, turned around and saw all these legs, and the guys next to us had invited a bunch of ex-strippers to Jazz Fest. And one of them and I ended up hanging out, and we both had our hearts broken when we had to go home, so this whole song is kind of for about her. I know it's over now, oh well.
We made the most nights and never made it back to my hotel. That's where it happened, between the beer and cigarette wrapping. I think I'd like to go back down, because I think I must have lost it in New Orleans. One of our nights out on the town could be back home was getting bored. I just can't blame it if it didn't want to be found. I think I'd like to go back down.
Now every they play the same night show as Jazz Fest, because people have, like, you know, standard gigs, and the Jazz Fest weekends are kind of the biggest of the year. And one of them is John Cleary plays the Maple Leaf. It's the first time I'd ever been in the Maple Leaf. And if you've ever been in the Maple Leaf in the middle of summer, you'll know it's really hot. And the only way to see the band is to stand on these little benches that line the walls. And if your girl is on one of those benches and you happen to be in front of her, the point where you all make contact is just a very sweet serendipity of construction and events and shit. So that's what this verse is about. Well,
you and I'll never sweat so much again. And that band didn't even start till 4 a.m. I licked all of the salt that I could handle while you were dancing on the bench seat with your pussy pressed against me. Oh yeah, I know you'd go back down. So if I tell you that I'll be there in the morning, I'm quitting work and I'm leaving town, would you drop all of your tricks in California and hop on the next plane with a toothbrush and a box spring? I know you'd go back down, because I know we must have lost it in New Orleans. One of our nights out on the town could be New York was getting boring. So I just can't blame it if it didn't want to be found. I think I'd like to go back down.
Yes. Chris Keneally on guitar, Din Chagobai on guitar and vocals.
Thank you very much.
Singing about a city we all love, New Orleans. Gentlemen, how can the listening public get a hold of you? Keneally, film or music or whatever they need, where can they get you?
Facebook, Chris Keneally, side-by-side, themovie.com.
That's right. You can get it on VOD, iTunes, all sorts of platforms and formats to check out
side-by-side. You can get the movie Crazy Legs Conti's Out in the Art of Competitive Eating. You can get the CD, The Knobs, from Siberia.
That's right.
Maybe someday soon you can see Base Camp.
That'd be nice.
You can watch Little Jimmy on Pat Riot.
Yep.
2007 and 2015.
And Dinshaw, where do people get a hold of you?
So in a couple days, as soon as my DNS resolves, you could probably get tallfriendtunes.com. In the meantime, I guess just get in touch with Crazy Legs or something, because I got my Facebook profile is locked down so that nobody I work with can ever see what I'm doing when I call in sick.
I got it.
And
yeah, if you need to reach us, reach out to Crazy Legs.
Crazy Legs.
You can find us.
Crazy
because
Legs
normally it's the other way around.
Yes.
Since he has no modern technology.
That's true.
So this would be a good...
Come
up and change of pace.
Yes, that's true. And you can get all of us at Eating Disorder at the heritageradionetwork.org, where this link will be established. And once Dinshaw's DSL problems have solved themselves, you can get a hold of him. But in the meantime...
Someday you'll get DSL, Crazy Legs.
Will I?
And not just STD.
But a very big thank you to Chris Keneally, Dinshaw Gobai, for joining us on a very special episode of Eating Disorder. And we'll see you next Monday at 8 o'clock.
It's been great to be here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.